episode 299, Andrew.
It feels like we accomplished something there.
I don't know. Look, we procrastinated episode 300. I can't believe I'm here to say it, but we did. 100%.
It is incredible that we've released 300 podcasts. I'm just happy to be here to try again with the call-in format. You know, biggest improvements from 1 to 2. Needless to say, we're on podcast 299. Like, that's an achievement in itself. But what we're focused on right here is the now, and that's improving from the call-in podcast from 298 to 299.
Right. And not only that, but we're figuring we're actually getting pretty damn close to getting this whole Zoom call studio set up. Like, you're looking like a snack yet again. Just rotated you to the right a little bit, and now all of a sudden you got some depth to you. Holy shit.
Right. This camera, we're still learning the nuances of this new camera that I got, the Sony a7 III. I think it's way above my pay grade, because I keep asking you, hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? I got to watch more videos, but this depth is, you're right. It's changed everything. It's just a small change, but the depth, who would have thought?
Who would have thought? I didn't realize that we turned into like D-boys overnight. Just we have 3 DSLRs in the corp. I feel like the technology is always too advanced for us. Do you ever feel like that?
Oh, I always feel like the technology is too advanced. What's a D-boy?
A D-boy is like a DSLR, like a guy who always takes photos and videos on a DSLR. Like, he's the guy who's like working EDM festivals, and he's like all over the place. And like, it's basically like Josh Moe or Brandon Polizuk. Like, what, I Brandon not anymore, but like all those guys started out as like the run and gun gimbal fucking, they call them D-boys.
Gotcha. That makes sense. The Brodsky brothers.
The Brodsky brothers. Exactly. Except like, I think, I don't know this to be true or not, but I feel like they don't want to be called D-boys.
Right.
You know?
It's slang. It's a negative slang.
It's a negative slang. I don't want that. You know, those guys fucking rock ass.
Right. So, but we're D-boys because we don't. We're,
exactly. Because we just have the equipment, and then we figure out new things that have been on it since like day one, you know?
Right.
See, like you're the average cameraman, Sony a7 III. I'm sure if you Google hashtag Sony a7 III, your pictures aren't coming up.
No, my hashtags, I'm still infiltrating that hashtag, the Sony a7 III hashtag, the Sony Alpha, Sony camera. I'm still using those, but I'm definitely low man on the totem pole. I'm the D-boy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. So yeah, episode 299, are we doing anything special for episode 300? Hard to say. We just started talking about what we're doing next week, which would be episode 300.
Right. Lo and behold, episode 300 kind of falls on a struggle week where we're going to be traveling. Declan's going to Colorado for beef week, and I'm headed to Miami with Sophie. So we have, some tripulation already figuring out how we're going to execute this, but it'll be fun nonetheless. Let's focus on the now.
Exactly. And I think that goes without saying, like, at the end of the day, all I'm really focused on is like putting my next, like, we're just putting our best step forward each week. So when things come up, like these milestones per se, it's like, you know, it's really not important to anybody else except for us. And, you know, I think I don't really care about it. Put it that way. I think that's where I'm getting at.
Episode 300 does nothing for me. All I'm trying to do is expand our reach so that we can hopefully influence more people. If that's promoting episode 300 in a unique way, sure. But like the actual number itself does nothing for me. We've accomplished way more than recording 300 of these things. That's just consistency at that point.
Yeah. If anything, it's just nice to say instead of like, when we're in these meetings, like trying to pitch like us as a production company, like, you know, being able to say we've produced over 300 podcasts after next week versus around 300 or almost
nearly,
300, nearly, you know, there's these verbiages that change that probably make a big difference.
Right. Now we say we've released 300 podcasts plus.
Plus. but yeah, man, it's just good to be here. I'm just glad I feel like no matter what we do, I always just feel like we are, just with the studio setup is why I'm saying this. I just love how we're like getting just a tad better with it each time. Like we're just, I hope there's there's just obvious improvement. I love it. Other thing I wanted to mention, I guess we're blowing up on TikTok now. And usually TikTok gives us, you know, one viral video. But this week we got three in a row.
I don't know exactly what we're doing right there. The algorithm always throws me off, but we dropped that Molly Hale TikTok talking about her 4-minute orgasms. And then the Straight Candid's authentic response, the genuine response to that. And, you know, made a little bit of a meme. And that thing got 400,000 views. And the comments in that are priceless. If anyone wants to get a good laugh, head to our TikTok and check out the comments. And then we released two more TikToks right after that, 10,000, 300,000, or 30,000. Sure. I don't know what the algorithm is. I think you just got to continue to funnel it and see what hits. But right now we're sitting pretty with TikTok.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I just think it's funny. Like we found, like our audience size on TikTok wasn't that big to begin with. It was like, who knows? Like, I don't know. We had like 4,000 followers, and the viral videos that got us to 4,000 were like, look at us jump in the water and sing, and like, ooh, check out this dope drone video. And then this time it's like, check out this girl talking about a 4-minute orgasm, and like almost everyone and their mom knows that it's not possible to orgasm for 4 minutes. And that was the majority of the comments, was just like, this isn't true. Like, she's full of shit. And then
there was there was a few comments that were with Molly and saying like, it's actually possible if you're practicing these breathing techniques, you're using these type of like things. And I was just, this is above my pay grade. Talk about a D-boy. I'm out on this one.
Yeah, we're out on this one, except we are the presenters of it. And then all of a sudden we got like 1,000, 2,000 more followers. And I feel like the orgasm range of like TikTok. So I was like, I guess we got to start posting. It wouldn't be a bad idea to post like something funny about like sex and shit. So then I did that again and it worked.
But hey, enough about our growth on TikTok. That's something that, you know, the listeners, if you're trying to get a good laugh, if you're trying to, you know, scroll through TikTok, head over there. That's a decent algorithm. But let's talk about what we're doing right now. We have 7 call-ins starting. We're recording on a Wednesday right now. We have 7 call-ins broken out every 10 minutes. And I'm going to do my best to transition from person to person. We currently have Clara Cott as our first call-in. She's sitting in the waiting room right now. And Clara's a great friend of ours. You know Clara. Our audience knows Clara. We believe in Clara. She's the reason why Bocella number one got off and running so easily. She was the face of Bocella number one. We used her with our marketing tactics, and it successfully worked. Clara, marketing guru, took her talents to this latest venture called Speak. And I will let her talk about it more. But the general gist is, the Speak concept helps you train dogs, and there's like buttons on the ground, and you get little buttons, and then Clara, you know, the marketing wizard that she is, has already got that thing off and running, and I'm pretty sure it's doing pretty well.
Clara, are you in?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, here. I should click start video. Hey.
You should.
Millennials. No. Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing well. We're stoked to have you. I feel like we haven't talked since the last time you're on our show.
We probably haven't, honestly. It's been a while.
I gotta ask, why are you looking like a snack right now, Clara? Do you always walk around looking like this?
You know, I try to. Yeah. I'm at my birthday party right now. I have Gabby behind the scenes for moral support next to me. So
hi Gabby. Yo,
what's up, Gabby?
Cameo.
Today's your birthday?
You guys, usually the camera's on Gabby and I'm behind the scenes being like, okay, breathe more, smile better. And now she's like just looking at me. It's kind of weird to flip the script. But no, my birthday is on Saturday.
Gotcha. A little early birthday celebration.
Yeah, I'm heading on to Florida. First time I've flown since COVID, so, you know.
Wow. Are you nervous?
Crazy. No, I'm pretty stoked. Pretty stoked.
Yeah, don't be nervous. There's literally no difference. Like, you'll walk into the airport and you'll be like, so they closed down, like, all the restaurants and everything across the universe, and they got this going on at MSP. You're like, what the shit?
I hear security is, like, pretty good, though. Like, it's fast.
Oh, yeah. Security rocks ass, dude. We want to make sure we hold on to this line. The short line.
Well, yeah, and I'm really actually looking forward to, like, my own middle row. And I think there's a lot of perks. Also, I heard if you're, like, eating enough, you can kind of take your mask off. So I might just house those little biscotti cookies the whole time and just, like, you know, get some good breaths in.
Bring 40 of them.
Yeah, no, I'm carb loading for sure.
Are you heading down to Miami perchance?
You know, I'm actually not. I am. I know. I might make a little day trip, but I'm not that, you know, it's kind of COVID-y down there, I think.
Sure. I'm going down to Miami on the 28th. So.
Oh my God, you are?
Like 10 days from now. Yeah.
Well, be careful. I mean, it looks really fun. Like the streets are populated.
Right. I need some social interaction. It's been too
long. I know. It's been a while. Can I have my champagne on here? Or what's the policy?
No, we got like damn near blackout.
I'm just staring at it and it's like.
We got damn near blackout drunk the last time you came on the podcast. And you're going to ask if you can have champagne on a Zoom call?
Well, you guys, it's 2021. I was trying to redeem myself. Okay. This is like my virtual icing. I feel like we're breaking traditions right now and I'm a little sad about it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, you know? But like the reason this is such a necessary Zoom call though, aside from the fact that we're not getting iced by you, is your new company, Training Dogs Speak. I need
Training
like,
Dogs.
I mean, I feel like that's what it's for. And I want to just jump right in. We gave you a little bit of an intro as to what it is. So we'll spare you the breath there.
Okay.
Can we have like our voices as the commands?
Yes. So that is honestly the best part about it. So there's three buttons on the board. They're re-recordable as many times as you want. So you can record practical things, right? Like treat, outside, cuddles, or you can record stuff like, you know, for your girlfriend, boyfriend, like, hey babe, sorry, spent $400 on Amazon last night, crushed the box of Oreos, love you, which is actually my preferred method of, you know, recording these buttons. So it's really fun. I mean, you can change them 100,000 times if you want.
How'd you get this idea off and running? Did you just have this in your back pocket for a little bit and you're like, all right, now it's time
to. Wow. You gotta be less comfortable using that phrase. That was so good. You know, thanks for asking, Andrew. I actually have two business partners who, interestingly enough, well, you guys know Ben from Woodchuck. Of course, this always comes full circle. So Ben, I was talking to him and I'm like, hey, I like kind of want to do an entrepreneurial thing. You know, it's COVID. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity. Pets, staying home. He's like, oh, you got to meet my other buddy. He's working on this thing. And it was kind of in like the infancy stages of, hey, there's an opportunity for button training dogs, but how do we bring it to the masses? And how do we make it affordable? How do we make it tangible? Because this concept has existed for a while, right? It just has never been something that has been affordable to the everyday family and something that's like honestly cute and you want to put on your floor and you're like, oh, like my cute little speak board, it works.
Right.
So it was an evolution.
That's super cool. Have you recorded any content of like the dog being trained to like break bad news to people? Like the, I spent $400 at the mall type shit.
We have. Yes. So if you check out the Instagram, there's there's some good ones on there. So one of my business partner, his dog actually like uses this thing religiously. So it's a German Shepherd. He's super smart. He's a puppy still. He's like 2.5. So he's got a little bit of energy. So when he uses it, it's really fun to watch because he like kind of jumps at it. But honest to God, it's like, I mean, I know I'm saying this about my own product. It's insane. The first time you see a dog hit this button and like your voice comes out of the thing, it is like the Matrix. Like you just look around, you're like, what the fuck? Like, it's nuts. So yeah, we've messed around with the buttons a lot. He started learning on the word outside. And everyone seems to think that their dog is going to like abuse it. You know, that's the number one objection. Like, well, my dog Buddy is just going to, he's just going to ask for 100 treats. And it's like, okay, hate to let you know, but like, if your dog is so smart that he understands like abusing this, you gotta like go on America's Got Talent and like make money off your dog, because it's not gonna abuse it, but everyone thinks they will.
As a person who is not an avid dog guy, like I usually take the stance of anti-dog.
Can I call you Aaron Rodgers yet, or what's the policy on that?
Good take. I've been getting that way too frequently.
It's insane. Now that I was kind of like looking at pictures, I feel like I'm FaceTiming Aaron Rodgers.
I'll take that. I'm happily Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Is Aaron Rodgers a dog guy? Find out later. Andrew.
For sure. Aaron Rodgers is an everything guy.
You're right. He's your
all-American man.
Yeah.
Portnoy, dogs. I mean, he's doing it all. All right. Continue on your question though. Sorry, segue.
Yeah, I'm the beta version of Aaron Rodgers. We covered that. As a guy who's, you know, not obsessed with dogs like every other human on this planet, you're making this product enticing. I just want to get I might become the dog just to have these buttons in my house.
Ooh, whoa. I mean, honestly, one of my friends, Sammy, she does not have a dog, and she was the second person to buy a Speak pet board. No, she uses it. Like, shout out to Sammy, because that's a loyal friend right there. She literally uses it more than like most people that have bought it for their dog, because she'll record, like, if someone's coming over to our apartment, she'll record a little custom thing and then have them hit it. Or, you know, like the other morning I walk in, it says like, what's for breakfast? And you hit it and it's like tequila. Like, it's just like, it's, people are getting really creative with it. And honestly, the novelty of it is so fun. Like, we've seen ideas like doing a gender reveal, literally having it say like it's a boy and then your dog hits it. It's the perfect little, like, I mean, I don't want to say COVID thing, but it is, it's great for when you're staying at home and you're just, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. I will say though, this Speak board is a problem for any couple that has a dog. I experienced this firsthand not too long ago, where, you know, like the girls, they're usually given the commands to the dogs, and I can never tell the difference whether she's talking to me or the dog. So I have personally a hard time with determining like, Declan, no, or just like, no, don't do that. Like, it's more of a me problem. And I'm just addressing it here. I'm worried for all the future boyfriends out there.
No, this is a safe space. I'm glad you brought that up. And honestly, like, we don't encourage it, but I can confirm it does work well on boyfriends. So not to throw you under the bus, but for all the girls out there, it's a nice little tactic of like, you know, you don't have to be the direct bad guy, but you can kind of get some training and it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love that.
Multifaceted.
Well, Claire, we have our next guest waiting in the waiting room here. We just want to say from the back pocket and all of our listeners, happy early birthday. Enjoy. Thanks, Florida. Guys.
Yeah, and maybe see you in Miami if I extend it a little bit.
Yeah, please do. That's a must. And congrats.
Cheers to that. Yes, thank you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Clara.
Bye.
All right, Deck, you want to introduce our next guest here? We have Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle Dozel. Michelle is we actually met her via Zoom a different time. She's the head of the Mankato State Marketing Club. She's also good friends with Lauren now. They're pretty much replicas of each other. But yeah, we're excited to bring her on and kind of just talk a little bit.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Living
the
dream. I
love the backdrop. That's a great location you're at.
Thank you. You too. I love the RV and the beautiful couch you have there, Andrew.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Michelle, so we just introduced you as the head of Mankato State Marketing Club. I feel like we did you a little bit of disservice there. Is there anything else that you'd like to be known as?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I have an e-commerce jewelry business, so I do that. And I also have my own media business as well. I don't know. I think those are the two different things I'm kind of doing here. And yes, President of Marketing Club. So you got it right.
Congratulations with the, so you have your own, you said, jewelry business?
Yes.
When did you get that off and running?
Yeah, so that started in September of 2020. And I started that with my business partner and best friend since like kindergarten. And yeah, that was in September.
That's incredible. Like right when we got to know you, I saw around that time, I mean, the first thing that we notice is, I mean, you're the president of the marketing club. You're already like a go-getter, a doer, someone that's taking initiative. Did not know you had this side business with jewelry. I mean, that just makes sense because you're so proactive with things. So congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What was kind of the impetus for starting the jewelry company and like everything that kind of went down in September?
Sure. I can kind of give you a backstory of me and my best friend. We've been friends for about 15 years, and it all kind of started with, you know, she lives down the block from me, and we started like with a just even like a babysitting business. You know, we put up flyers and we put it in everybody's mailboxes, and we're like hired to, I think we're like 13 hopefully or 14, you know, and hire us as your babysitters. And we had a YouTube channel together. We started a pop socket business and some lifestyle workout apparel businesses, you know, and back in high school and everything like that. And, you know, whenever we were given a class project, because we had a lot of different classes together, for example, one was for history class, Ellis Island, we had to give a presentation on Ellis Island. So what we did was we planned out a whole skit and we dressed up as a couple that was going to Ellis Island. And we took out a green screen, we filmed it, recorded it, and we shared it to the class, you know? So I feel like we've always been very innovative and creative and have put like our all into everything, even if it's just like a PowerPoint class presentation for, you know, for a class project. So what we did was we found a gap in the market. So going to the jewelry part, and we're young women and we're looking at stepping into our careers in the future because we're both in college. Well, Maya kind of dropped out and she's pursuing real estate right now. And so we found a gap, and, you know, we don't want to sell a like high quality, fine gold filled jewelry because that's really expensive. And, you know, not a lot of people can afford jewelry like that. And then we also don't want to sell cheap jewelry. And so we kind of found that gap, and that was demi-fine jewelry. And we kind of call that like the perfect in between. So it's nice jewelry at an affordable price. And that's kind of what we started.
Gotcha. So nice. you're looking at two guys who don't know much about jewelry.
we don't wear a lot of jewelry either. Right? Andrew, I don't know. You maybe wear jewelry. I don't know, dude.
I wore a watch for a little bit, but I don't think that really counts as jewelry. What kind of, like, when I would go purchase this maybe for my girlfriend, what am I looking at? What are the go-to items? What are the best sellers?
All right. So yeah, I mean, if you're purchasing something for your girlfriend, I mean, Valentine's Day is just around the corner.
Exactly. So see, this is the stuff I need.
Yeah. Here's my little marketing pitch. But I mean, I'm wearing some of the jewelry right now, and we do 18K gold plated jewelry, and it's over more higher quality material. So it's not like over copper, which, you know, will turn green, and I'm sure your girlfriend wouldn't like that. So, you know, it's, and if you don't want to go the gold filled route and spend or drop a couple $100s, you know, mm-hmm. You can go with a demi fine jewelry, and it's a thought that counts anyway. So 18K lasts longer, and it's plated, so it's not filled with 18 karat gold. So it's not the fine jewelry that we're talking about, but, you know, getting something simple with a little pendant, a little diamond is super cute and girls would love, and it matches with everything. I think we always think of for Valentine's Day, like, let me get her a cute heart necklace or something like that. But even like a cute, simple pendant or necklace that can like go with everyday outfits is a good choice.
Sold. Say less, Michelle. I will be in your inbox here shortly.
I appreciate it.
Nice. So, Michelle, did you graduate?
I'm a junior in college, and I go to Minnesota State Mankato. Yeah.
That's right. Sorry. Okay, so you're one. Oh, you're I'm good. Always 1 year off. I feel like I'm always 1 year off on pretty much anything I do. But anyways, so looking for a summer internship in digital marketing then, huh?
Oh, you checked out my LinkedIn. Yes.
I did. I just pulled it up. I just wanted to throw that out there. What kind of we'd love to help you out. What kind of we know some people in the digital space. We're also in the digital space, but what are you looking for? We can help you out.
Sure. Well, growing up, I had a YouTube channel, and that kind of stemmed my interest in marketing and film. And I think it blew up to about 6,000 subscribers and 300 and some thousand views. And it was fun at the time, and I enjoyed it. But then, you know, my drive for it died out, you know, passion and everything like that. So I grew up. But as for what I'm looking for, I'm looking for something that kind of, you know, is more on the paid social side, because I've grown up creating content, and I'm really aware of how to, you know, put out a social media post, because we grew up doing that, as you know, we're Gen Z. Well, I'm a Gen Z, so I know how it's done. Sorry. But I would like something in paid social, and figuring out how I can utilize my content in a better way, you know, because I can put out content and put out value, but I'm hoping for some return out of that, you know, as a marketing student. So that's what I'm kind of looking for right now, something to utilize my content creation or the content creation of another company.
Awesome. That's incredible, Michelle. And to kind of wrap it up here, we have our next guest in the waiting room. What are you looking forward to most in 2021?
That's a good question. Well, I think I'm looking forward to just enjoying the present moment, because I think 2020 has taught me to really slow down. I watched the movie Soul, and I think we're all kind of wrapped up in, like, as students, and I'm always thinking about what's my passion, what do I want to do, and you know, it's a lot of stress and pressure, you know, to be, I'm only 20 years old, I don't really know what my end goal and life vision is right now. So I think it's important just to kind of be present and enjoy what life is all about. You know, it's not what's my major, you know, what am I going to do next. It's, I'm here just to live and enjoy the present moment. So I'm looking forward to just bringing that attitude in 2021. So.
Yeah, that's perfect. I know for a fact that Soul is just one of those movies that you take away so much. It is a kid's movie, but like, I feel like it's made for adults and made for people that are like, it's a perfectly timed movie, because in the year 2020, so many things are happening, so much chaos, so much angst, but that just general concept of living in the moment, and that's when you're going to be your most fulfilled. Like, that's awesome. That's a perfect share, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we'll talk soon. And yeah, we'll be in touch. Loved having you on.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys.
Queuing up. We got Chris Doomer jumping into the chats here. The link is out. He is our
You've seen the link. It says so right here.
Bingo. He's our drone expert. Kind of got a little Jay Christensen in him. And we met him at Lincoln Drink. And this is the first time he's coming on the show. So I'm just excited to chat and see if he's got a sweet camera setup. I'm expecting big things.
Yeah, I hope he's got his DSLR ready to rip on Zoom as well. I feel like we're one of the few that have figured that out, but there's been people streaming for like years with this process. So
yeah, when we have Aaron on later, he's definitely going to he's going to one-up us with some streaming tactics. My man, Chris, entering the chats.
Entering the chats. We got a hold of him. Let's rip.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, Chris?
Chris, how you doing?
Good, good. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you great. Can we see you?
Yeah, hold on a sec. Okay, we should be good now.
There we go, dude. Now we're awesome. Dialed.
Sorry about that.
No worries, man. How's your day been? What's up?
Not too much. Done pretty good. I was at work, a little distracted by, you know, the inauguration and stuff today, but it was all good news for the most part, so that was okay.
Love that, man. Dude, I just want to say, I've been, like, Andrew was mentioning you're kind of the king of drones, and
I mean, I'll take that, but not quite. No, not like Jay or nothing like that.
we were just bringing up Jay, but you, I'm just scrolling up through some of our DMs because we've been DMing for, you can fill us in on when you found us, but like, dude, some of these photos of the Twin Cities are bananas, dude.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, I've been having fun. I was trying to get as much as I could in before it got too cold to use drones. Of course, you can kind of use them whenever, but like batteries and all that stuff sometimes take a hit when it's cold outside. So I haven't been doing a whole lot this winter, but as soon as the temperature gets above like 32 degrees and it's like, if there's a nice sunset around or whatever, I'm itching to get out and shoot some stuff. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah, we first met, I think, one of those Lincoln drinks that Brandon hosted.
Yeah, I had been to all of them. I got involved with the butterfly, like with them for like a week when I think like the second one happened. But yeah, Lincoln drink, I missed that stuff. But yeah, those are the days.
Yeah, they were supposed to be at the Walker all of 2020. They had 4 or 5 dates lined up and that kind of got shut down, which was a bummer. But what have you been up to, man? I haven't seen you since 2019 when we had the Lincoln drinks.
Yeah, so since after Lincoln drink, I got a job in July of 2019 working for a YouTube channel, kind of social media company type deal. So that's been super fun. Been doing that for almost 2 years now. July 2019 is when I got it, so a year and a half, almost two at this point. So that's been fun, making YouTube videos, doing social media, kind of all up in that digital space, if you want to call it that.
What exactly are you shooting? What kind of content is it?
So it's YouTube videos around menswear, gentleman lifestyle, that kind of like fancier side of life, I guess you could say, just kind of everything from like how to wear certain clothes to like how to act and how to not be too self-critical and just like anything you could think of that would surround like kind of that the gentleman or just like being a good guy type of philosophy. We've tried to cover it or we'll be covering it kind of in the future, I guess. So
gotcha. Maybe with a glass of whiskey in your hand.
Yeah, we've done stuff on drinks. We've done stuff on, you know, like how to wear the right stuff for the right occasion. Everything from like, we just started doing these reaction series to like different movies and like how they did good on style or didn't do good on style. So the last one we did, or the last one we published anyway, was about The Godfather. And they kind of had trouble differentiating like the 70s from the 40s when the movie was set. So that was kind of fun to pick apart. And it combines my love for movies and stuff too with some of that stuff. So.
Nice. What's the name of the company that
The YouTube channel is called Gentleman's Gazette. So we do that, and then we sell like pocket squares and ties and stuff under the brand Fort Belvedere, kind of as a main source of income. The YouTube channel is actually like the biggest marketing tactic we use for the brand. So we just kind of made content to basically market the accessories and all that stuff we sell. So
got it. You said Gentleman's Gazette.
Gentleman's Gazette is a YouTube channel, and then Fort Belvedere is the brand that sells all the accessories and stuff.
Gotcha. It's like a men's warehouse, but the Gentleman's Gazette YouTube version of it.
Yeah, but better, I think we would probably say.
Yeah, it sounds killer. You guys are using YouTube as kind of your marketing. But that's awesome, man. I would love to hear kind of more of your journey into that, and more so like how you were able to kind of incorporate, you know, like all your photography skills, video, media skills, all that stuff. So I would love to hear that.
Yeah, so basically what I've been obsessed with almost for like the last 10 years or more is photo and video. So my big goal out of college was get a job there in photo and video. So took a couple steps to get to the job at the Gentleman's Gazette. But after searching and searching, it was actually kind of a funny story. Two jobs were competing for my attention at that time. And so it was kind of an interesting deal to balance. Like, hey, I'm waiting for an offer from this other place. And like, I know like you want to fill this position, but like I want to balance my options and all this stuff. But yeah, so... was unemployed and doing freelance stuff for a while and leading up to that job, but we're using video to make YouTube videos and sell products and taking photos of all the new products and all that stuff. So I'm obsessed with photo and video. So I do it for my job. And then when I get home, I do some stuff. I have been shooting concerts, at least up until the pandemic anyway. Yeah, just kind of doing it wherever and whenever I can. It's kind of a lifestyle at this point.
Nice. So the, and I love that. This just sounds like an absolute hustle. So how long were you doing freelance for?
So in between jobs, it was like, I think like 8 months, but I've been doing freelance since college, like 2014. Is I think when me and my friends kind of formally started like making these little production companies and like marketing to like local citizens and businesses and all this stuff, you know, just trying to get experience outside of the classroom, which is something the professors didn't like directly push, but we kind of knew like just classroom education wouldn't cut it. So kind of had that motivation all the way back in college to kind of do freelance and do what I can, whether it was weddings or marketing videos for businesses or whatever. So that kind of stemmed from all the way back then. But for that little time in between jobs, I've been doing freelance for like 8 months. And then I guess the job I had before the gentleman's was that was technically freelance since it wasn't salaried and benefits and all that stuff like a traditional job as well. So
yeah, with freelance work, you know, it kind of generates a lot of angst just because, you know, it's, you're creating your own schedule. You have to earn the next job. How have you been able to deal with that over, you know, 2020 being kind of just a chaotic year and then now kind of transition into this year and kind of seeing similar business habits?
Yeah, so I'm pretty thankful. Actually, my job at the Gentleman's Gazette is full-time salary with a little bit of benefits. So the security for my main 9-to-5 is there, which I'm really thankful for, especially in 2020. But I'm just using all the different tactics, marketing myself through Instagram, emailing people, like when it comes to concerts, like digging down the dark hole of the internet, trying to find like, who's the manager of this group and, or who's the manager of this festival and can I get in to do this or that? And I'm actually kind of messing with that a little bit right now because there's some festivals that are like in full on prep mode for the summer, kind of hoping that maybe things work out and that they can do maybe some more socially distanced outdoor stuff in the summer. So I'm kind of actually jumping back into the freelance lifestyle, freelance hustle a little bit there, trying to get in for festivals and concerts this summer, trying to get back into that music thing because I'd only been doing it for like 4 or 5 months and then the pandemic hit and stuff started getting canceled left and right. And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a long haul situation here. So
yeah. Any crazy stories with shooting festivals?
I haven't shot festivals yet. That was kind of like the thing I was ramping up towards in 2020 before everything happened. But I did shoot, I made a little video about it back in the day too when it happened, but I did shoot 10 different artists in one weekend. Now it was like two of these like radio station shows where they had like 5 or 6 artists at each event. And I went to events, but it's kind of a fun headline. Shooting 10 artists in one weekend was kind of a fun thing to do. And it's the first time I got connected with the people at iHeartRadio in Minneapolis too. So that was kind of a fun connection to get and a great connection to get that way. But then shooting a lot of artists and getting experience kind of right off the bat was cool too.
Right on, man. Hey, I also just remembered you are looking for a potential date on the Date Night podcast as well.
I was kind of stoked for that too, just to kind of have a little fun and get to know somebody, but we'll get back to that stuff hopefully.
But yeah, we're pleased to tell you we're kicking it back off here in a couple weeks.
Nice. Sign me up.
Yeah, love we it, will dude. Let you know. We're trying to do it on Wednesday nights, still using our location at First Draft.
Cool.
And we're ready to get those launched again. It took a little bit of a backseat. We had 3 recorded. So you're definitely on the short list, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
Sweet, yeah.
Sweet. But do we have our next caller coming up here, or are we still good?
We are still waiting on our next caller is Ben McKinney.
McKinney, who knows? Yeah, and, wait, yeah.
He no-showed us last time. He might no-show us again.
Dude, there's no way he no-shows us twice. But actually, there's definitely a way. But anyways, Chris, I want to know, just from your end, you know, this past year, you got your drone license. Mm-hmm. And congrats on that, man. What are you looking forward to in 2021? Maybe utilizing that drone license or any of the skills? I'd just love to hear what you're looking forward to.
Yeah, so in an ideal 2021, I talked about concerts a little bit. I want to get back to that. Drones is another big thing. It's kind of still new at this point. One of those things like I even get a little anxious about when I'm still doing it just because it's so new, but it's super exciting. So I probably want to do more of that. I just want to get back out and create, whether it was the pandemic or the winter, kind of both at the same time. It just kind of is kind of a different environment when it's cold and there's a pandemic, I guess you could say. So I just want to get back outside when it's warm out and just connect with people as best I can and shoot whatever I can, use the drone, get back to concerts, just kind of get back to, I guess, how things were as best I can, even though maybe things will never be the same. But I want to try my best to get back to the things I was doing and that I loved doing before I was stuck at home so much. So that's kind of the big goal for 2021, concerts, drone, and whatever else pops up.
Right on, man. And where can people find you if they're looking to utilize your skills?
Yeah, so biggest would probably be Instagram, at chris.doomer is my Instagram handle. And then my website is just chrisdoomer.com, chrisdummer. So I spell that just because sometimes people get it wrong. It's kind of a funny thing there too. But those are my two biggest spots. I post a lot of my content on Instagram and then probably duplicate it on my website either shortly after or shortly before. So those are the two biggest places.
Right on. Hey, and just last question here. Any relation to Jack Doomer or the Austin Doomer, the Doomer family that we know?
Yeah, I've definitely heard of both of them. I'm sure we're related somehow. If it's spelled the same, I'm sure there's some descendant somewhere along the line where we connect. Haven't actually met a whole lot of people outside of the extended family that have that name, and it's pretty uncommon name. So I'd assume we're related somewhere, but I haven't met or don't know 100% if that's locked down or not. So
gotcha. Figured I'd ask. But hey, man, appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Right on. So, Decky, we are still going to be waiting on Ben. He has not jumped in the chats here. Do we continue to throw him under the bus? Is that?
Dude, I don't know at this point. I feel really bad.
He said in the chats, like he said, it's going to be a little difficult to get on, but he was going to make it happen. I think he said something along those lines, right?
I think so. The worst part about all this to me is the fact that he DM'd us and said, he really built this up. He basically said, you'll never believe why I had to rain check. He like totally built himself up. Like we were getting ready to like absolutely launch this thing. And now he duped us.
You think he's still on Chinatown?
I don't know, dude. There's not even a reoccurring bit I want to go into at this point.
God, what a bummer. Benny.
Ben, I just want to know.
I think we're going to have to continue to pull the strings.
We're going to have to ask him.
No, I say we sign him up again for next week.
You know what? You're right, Andrew. We got to stay consistent here. He is a non-negotiable call-in at this point. It's just funny because we have so many different people calling in. But it actually kind of worked out because in 2 minutes we have Nick coming on, right?
Yes, Nick Prisapilla.
Love it.
I'm assuming we're going to get a lot of similar energy than we got last week from Joey Schools. And I just got off the phone with my dad. And Joey, he couldn't have given you enough praise. From the vibes and frequencies to, hey, Joey, if you're listening, vibes and frequencies to, you know, remembering about the hugs, hugging on your right side, heart to heart. Just got off the phone with my pops and he was just astounded. He was pumped. He's like, I'm never going to know what people remember from how much I like drop some like, you know, truth bombs here and there every week on Mondays when he's walking and talking, but the hugging is the thing that stuck with Joey and that's just too cool.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah. But like you said, similar vibes to Nick or Joey and Nick. I mean, they're obviously friends first and foremost, but then when you boil it down, those guys are like, very much hardcore marketing interns, like been with us since our St. Thomas days, which is funny to say, like those are like the dog days of our creation.
Right. We're coming up on 3 years removed from school. That cracks me up.
Blows my mind. And then we're celebrating. The other part about this 300th episode is it basically lands, actually we're a couple of weeks away from our like official anniversary, you know?
Yeah. What is it? It's like February 12th, 2017,
something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Sure,
you know. Sure. But no, it's gonna be cool. Nick's been around for a while, and when we put out that in 2020, I started a campaign. He talked about his weight loss and what he has done in the past year, and I'll kind of let him explain kind of his journey, but. It sounds freaking awesome. Like the guy totally flipped a switch in his brain and lost a shit ton of weight, which is just so cool.
Yeah. I remember talking to him at Bocella and just the smile on his face, like just how proud he was of all of it. So I'm stoked when he joins us. You know, the anticipation here again continues to build. This is the difficult part with doing the call-ins. Now we have to rely on other people to be timely. We also have to rely on ourselves to send out the links. That's a whole nother thing that you gotta back check that and make sure the links are out. Link stays the same. And if you're gonna Zoom hack us, we're more than welcome to. We would love a Zoom bomb. We're ready to play around with any Zoom bombs that jump in.
We're not opposed to any Zoom bombs, which is like a crazy thing to say, but it's true.
Right. And we're getting bombed here by Nick, who has entered the chats. How are we doing, Nick?
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're living the dream, brother. How you doing?
Yeah. Oh man, I'm doing very well. You know, it's a new year. Same me as always, but you know, things are hopefully getting better here this year. So Decky, I have to say, I saw your setup and I'm like, holy cow, you're living the dream out there, man. Holy cow.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate it. You know, there are parts that are like dreamlike when I, you know, things where I discover like, oh, I have a fireplace in my home. Like, that's so ridiculous. I have a French door kitchen. Then it just, it humbles you fast. RV life humbles you fast when you don't know how to handle your septic tank. So I've been having a lot of run-ins with my shit water. But nonetheless, dude, I can't complain. I am living the dream.
Dude, I see you. I always see your struggles with that. Oh, this bump. I remember the first time you did it. My neighbor helped me. That's why, you know, you always be a good neighbor, right? Always have a good neighbor.
Absolutely. And like the craziest part too was he tells me after we were, you know, in the midst of COVID and all this stuff and whatever, he's like, yeah, dude, kind of sucks. Like, I'm glad I didn't get too close to you helping you out because I have shingles.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I hear about that all the time at the pharmacies.
I don't even know what it is. Isn't it like chicken pox for old people?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's hey, we stay away from shingles, man.
Yeah, we stay away from shingles and talk about good shit. What are the good things that you've been doing this past year, which we know about, was, you know, you lost a shit ton of weight. You're looking like a fucking snack over there, dude. Holy cow. Absolutely. So first and foremost, just wanted to say congratulations, man. Like, that's fucking sick. Super pumped for you.
Thank you.
But I also like kind of want to dive in a little bit on that and just understand kind of the mental aspect behind it. What kind of drove you to lose all this weight? I'll let you take it from here, man.
Absolutely, boys. So it was New Year's last year, 2019. I went on a trip actually out in Nashville, and I had a whole giant week of just drinking and doing a bunch of fun stuff like that. You know, we call it Nash Vegas because it's a pretty fun city to be in. But you know, I got back and it had to have been either the weekend after or even just middle of January. And I just kind of looked in the mirror one morning before I was going to work. And man, I just thought like, man, I can't keep treating my body like this. Like, this is just horrible. Like, I think I really need to, and I'll kind of get into the mental aspect in a bit, but you know, at first it was kind of just like an image thing. For me, I really wanted to skim some weight off. I'm, you know, single bachelor. So it's, I really wanted to drop some of that so I could kind of get back out on the dating scene, but
still
then,
a single bachelor, Nick, just for, in case someone's listening.
Yes, I am a single bachelor. Absolutely.
And just a quick follow-up question. Are you interested in going on a first date on a podcast?
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely. And like, I'll do it. I just haven't been able to find a match because Tinder, Hinge and Bumble haven't been very lucky recently, but absolutely.
That's where we come in, Nick. Stress no more. Back pockets here. We're matchmakers in ourselves. We got a whole team behind us ready to set you up. First draft coming in the coming weeks. We'll be in your inbox.
Absolutely, boys, man. If it all works out, you know, you guys are definitely coming to the wedding. Do automatic invites to the boys. That's for sure.
Oh, that's a priceless, man. So yeah, you're feeling a little self-conscious and you're getting a little bit motivated on behind the scenes.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, guys, like, I finally got a gym membership in February. I felt like I really wanted a gym that was close to my house because I'm able to wake up. Like, I wake up at 6 in the morning and go lift. Or if I decide, yeah, you know, my body needs a little bit of a rest, I'll go in the evening after work. So that's kind of just been my routine as of recent. But I really love going in the morning because honestly, it gets your day started fast. And honestly, I feel like I own the world. Actually, it feels so good. But you know, that whole mental, you know, the body image thing kind of stuck with me for a while. But then after a while, it just became routine. Now it's not, you know, I lost 30, 35 pounds. I was 220 starting off last year when I got back from Nashville. And now I'm down to like, I'm floating between about like 187, 190. I'm kind of in that range right now. Just because I haven't been running as much recently, just due to the inclement weather. But, you know, spring and summertime, you know, it could come fast, and I'm going to get hop back on the horse. I've been doing a lot of lifting recently. So, but yeah, after a while it was just routine. And honestly, that's when it was like, not as much on the body image side. It was just more of, you know, it's just kind of a routine, how I go about my day. And I mean, I have a very stressful job in what I do. I'm a pharmaceutical sales rep. So I deal with a lot of stuff during the week. And I think I thought about this the other day. Back in 2019, I was doing stuff like drinking alcohol, like going up to happy hours with coworkers, which is good. Like, I'm not knocking happy hour at all, but, you know what? I did it consistently without, you know, working out and doing other things. But now I look at it, you know, what I did this past year in 2020, and I'm not doing as many happy hours. Now I'm just, you know, to bang out stress instead of drinking and doing and having fun time with coworkers, I'm, you know, working out. That's kind of been, it's been honestly the healthiest thing I've done. I feel like I've been the healthiest since probably my freshman year of college or senior year of high school.
Right on, man. I, like we said earlier, like, just stoked for you. Like, the energy that is radiating, you know, your body and transferring into this Zoom call is just phenomenal. Like, I can feed off that. I'm sure our listeners will as well. And mm-hmm. I think, do you think, like, I would like to dive into the mental aspect a little bit more mm-hmm. of it too. Like, you mentioned something about working out earlier, where in the morning, where like, you wake up, you're dog shit tired, you go work out, and then when you finish working out, that's when you feel the most energized, even though you just exhausted your body for an hour, hour and a half. I'd love to just kind of tap into kind of where your mental mindset is at, heading in full steam in 2021.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, that specifically, you know, it's kind of interesting you bring that up, Declan. I mean, when I wasn't doing this, waking up in the morning, like, my mind and my body felt so exhausted at the end of the day, but now it feels like taking that steam, and it just continues to go throughout the workday. And I get home in the evening, and I'm like, I'm going to go play hockey, or I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to go do, I feel like I just want to go do like other things, like other than just sit around on the couch all night. And I have quite a few nights where I rest up and I kind of unwind, but now I just feel like with that steam right away off the hop, the rest of the day is just, and I feel way better throughout the day talking to people.
Yeah. Can you hone in on a couple characteristics that you relied on when, like, early on when it was probably tough to, like, mm-hmm. get yourself to in the gym? What were you doing to remind yourself, like, long-term, like, hey, this is going to take, you know, one small step at a time? Or was it just kind of natural for you to get back in the gym and start getting that, the body where you wanted it to?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think throughout my life, I've tried to, you know, I've always been told hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. I think it's just something that I've just had instilled in me. And it's that the big characteristic, I think, is persistent. The first one's persistence. I wasn't getting results right away. I felt like after like 3 or 4 weeks, I thought about quitting, and I just kept telling myself, do not quit. Do not give up on me now. You're not giving up. And then COVID, and then to put on top of that, COVID hit, closed down my gym. So I had to kind of adjust. So that's kind of the second thing, like, just, you know, that flexibility I had, I worked out at home. I did, you know, high intensity interval training. That's how I lost a lot of it, actually, is just doing that and ab workouts, and then throw some upper body workouts in, and then getting a pull-up bar. That was big too. But yeah, persistence, and then, you know, just, you know, having an open mind and being flexible, even when, you know, when stuff you can't control comes up.
Right on, man. Yeah. And, we got our next guest here in the waiting room, so I want to ask you one final question here, Nick. Are you got a question, Deck?
Well, I think I hope we're asking the same question. So we know I was going to ask about Boachella.
I was going to say, Joey, we had on our podcast this past week, and we finished with asking about Boachella. We're on the same page there, Dackie.
All right, take it away.
Yeah. So obviously you were at Boachella too this past year, and we saw you smiling eye to eye the whole time, having a great time.
Absolutely.
We got to know, how can we improve for Boachella 3 here at the end of July?
Dude, guys, honestly, best party I've ever been to. Like, that was unbelievable. It's, I can't. I mean, I love the live music performances, you know, getting some cool people up there. I still follow Bio's Insta, so, and keep in touch with him, and have his music on Spotify too. Joe is actually, I know we talked about the mind part. I mean, mind, he's mind, I'm body. We're mind and body in this house, so we live together. Honestly, I don't know, I don't think you guys need to change a thing. That was awesome.
Joe mentioned having a fire, someone who could breathe fire at the event. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Oh yeah, fire breathers. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Okay, all right, I think we can work with that. But yeah, dude, I we appreciate your time, man. Thank you for just amplifying us and just bringing the heat today. You always got to respect the guys who's bringing the heat at 8 o'clock at night here.
Oh, absolutely, boys. Thanks for having me on. You guys are always bringing the heat at the BP, man.
Thank you, brother. Hey, Nick, have a great rest of your night, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
God, I love you, those guys. I forgot they live together, too. He mentioned that right at the end. That's too funny. Joey last week, Nick this week. Oh, those guys are amazing.
They freaking rock. That's fun to watch.
All right, so now we got Aaron Cornelius joining us from his stream setup. We'll see how this transition goes. He's been sitting in the waiting room patiently since 6:30, joined right away because, you know, that he's that type of guy. He's always ready. And I think he's streaming right now one of his old school games, and it might be a date with his girlfriend who also joined the Date Night podcast. That's also a common theme we got going on right now.
Right. No, I'm excited to see how Aaron's Wi-Fi responds to all this bandwidth. I feel like it's a lot. I'm not too up to snuff on how bandwidth works and Wi-Fi, but goddamn, it's gonna be a lot.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see if he can have all these moving parts going at once, because we're struggling right now to make sure our camera doesn't overheat.
Yeah, no shit. Aaron, get here's a video game. This is great.
Which video game you think he's playing?
Minecraft. No, he's playing
Super Mario. What is this? Brothers.
It sounds a little Nintendo-y.
Definitely Nintendo vibes.
You're there he is.
Kidding.
Holy shit. Yeah, no, he's streaming on Twitch. Guy's got it dialed. I think he's trying to figure out his audio. Check your Oh shit, now he threw the headphones in, dude.
He's got it. He'll figure it out. We'll give him time.
Let's build some context for the kid. Aaron Cornelius, he's a longtime listener, follow, good friend of ours. Went to St. Thomas. He is now an avid streamer of any kind of old school video game. So basically any N64 games, such as like Super Smash and Mario Party. Streams with his girlfriend who's in the center right here, Delaney. She's an absolute treat. And it's been fun personally as a guy who, or as a company, just trying to figure out Twitch. Young AC is a consistent Twitch streamer, and I'm stoked to now hear him.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yes.
Wait, can you hear us now?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah,
we can hear you guys. You guys are live.
What?
Oh, you can hear us.
Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, okay. I still need this. Cool.
Heck yes. How's it going, guys?
Phenomenal, man. Now that we've got a streamer.
We heard you the whole time.
This is something we've never accomplished. I feel proud.
You're on a stream
right
now.
Hey, guys. Yeah, we got you on the stream right now. Let me just get my screen cap up so that people can see you. Cool.
There we go.
Yeah. So now people can see you. And they can see us. It's working, kind of. Okay.
Wow. Wait, maybe move our camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how's it going, guys? How y'all doing?
Screens.
Living the dream, well. Man.
You're caller number six on the day.
Number six? Wow.
Hell yeah. So what's happening? What's up?
Not much. I'm just absolutely shocked that you are you running OBS right now?
Yeah.
This is phenomenal. I, as a guy yeah. who loves like trying to figure out OBS, this is just fascinating.
Dude, OBS virtual cam, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so you're using the virtual cam. But yeah. Dude, I guess here's where I need to start. Why did you want to start streaming? And how has it been so far? How long have you been doing it for?
Well, I think I've been doing it about, what did you say, like 3-4 months. It started like one of my homies is a competitive Super Smash Brothers Melee, a tournament organizer. He's like regionally, like organizes all the tournaments that happen. And he streams, he's really into it. And it looked like fun. I always love playing retro games. So I was like, it just makes sense. And so yeah, I stream every like Monday and Wednesday night. Plug Young AC, 2 underscores.
Okay, Young AC, cool. Go give him a follow.
Yeah, go give him a follow. But yeah, so yeah, we got started with that. And I also just had a bunch of production equipment, like doing, like I played in a band in high school and, you know, like recording music. So just seemed like a good fit.
Yeah. And then you decided to go old school. How was that trying to get that set up on Twitch? I can't imagine a lot of compatible cords going there.
Oh my God. If you guys could see my living room right now, it's just like chaos. It's
cord
just
city in here.
Yeah, it's cord city. Like this is my girlfriend Delaney and her roommate Zoe.
Zoe. She's awesome. Zoe. Yeah, I walked in and I was like, I'm a liability here. I'm gonna spell on one of these cords for troubles.
Yeah, we cover our ass with trip and slip insurance. That of course so much okay. everywhere. It's trip and slip.
You guys are set.
Yo, send me your insurance agent's number. That's what I need.
Yeah, dude, I honestly kind of like the fact that there's cords everywhere. It makes it, I feel like it gives off this aura. Like I know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And at the same time, I also feel like it's a very, like Jeff Bezos vibe, you know, where he has like the original, like Amazon sign, like horizontal. And it's just like, yeah, Amazon started here. And it's like, well, check out my fucking cord setup for all of my unorganization. This is going to lead to a $1 billion company.
Yeah. Where's Jeff Bezos' cords at? Where are they at now? Now he's wireless.
Right. The guy seemed to figure it out. I feel like we can figure it out too. But at the same time, it's like, I'm sure you're the same way of just like figuring out the streaming technology and like how everything kind of interfaces. Like the fact that you just were able to troubleshoot your audio, like, props to you. That's big time pressure situation. That's fourth quarter. So it was Wii theme music that you were playing.
Yes.
There was Wii theme music.
That's oh, what we wow. Stream.
Are you seeing my screen right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
The music that was playing in the background was the game we were playing, which is actually Banjo Kazooie. I was trying to mouth that to you guys, but I don't think you could understand my lips, but we were playing Banjo Kazooie.
So what's it like trying to entertain an audience playing video games? Because one, you're playing the video game, you're trying to, you know, dominate and, you know, show your skills, but also you got to be a personality. Like, what are you doing to keep this audience tuned in for however long you're on the stream?
I should just ask the people that are in the chat right now, but yeah, I don't know. I like don't try to be good at video games. I just try to, you know, be personable and hang out with people, I guess. Like I try to keep it just like, keep it conversational, just be able to hang out with people and make people feel welcome, you know?
Yeah.
And then you bring your girlfriend in and she's probably bringing a little more personality than that, Aaron. I mean, come on, dude.
I feel like he's really good at keeping the audience engaged. So on Twitch, you have channel points that you can earn when you watch a streamer for a bit, and you can buy or like unlock certain things with a certain amount of channel points. Like 5,000 channel points for Aaron is a whole shotgun.
Yeah, so I had to do a shotgun.
It's evolved too.
Yeah, I had to do a shotgun like 5 minutes before you guys pulled me in here.
Nice.
Those people, they hit me with the channel points.
That's sick. I love that. It's so in a, like, we obviously know what streaming is and what Twitch is, and I think it's just going to be the future of like any sort of broadcast for the average man. People always ask me, like, what is it? Why would anybody want to watch someone play video games? Do you have an answer for that?
I don't know. For me, it's a total nostalgia factor. I'm like, I just love revisiting old games and getting to meet people. You know what I mean? Like, you meet people in chats, and also it's cool because, like, normally you don't get to, like, interface with your idols or, like, your famous people or whoever it is. That's not me, but those are other people. And so it's really, like, a cool opportunity to be able to just like, I don't know, fucking talk to people and get to meet, you know, the people. Like, if you watch, like, your favorite YouTuber, you just get to consume what they're putting out. It's not a two-way street, you know, it's not two-way communication. So that's what I really like about it. Sure.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of GGs in the chats, Fs in the chats. What's the any crazy requests? You had a shotgun. You shotgun a beer? Is that what you were saying? Any other crazy requests?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I can't even.
Some Kendama tricks are in there. We've got a slide whistle here.
Mm-hmm. We are all about the slide whistles, the shotguns. Stylophone. Yes.
Oh, that's a new feature.
It's a new feature that I got him for Christmas. But yeah, just some fun things you can throw in there.
Yeah, so
real quick, as the roommate of Delaney, what is it like when you're in the background of them just like streaming all day? Does that ever get on your nerves? I feel like this is a good time to address it.
I mean, background, they're always at Aaron's house when they do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So this is that actually my first time joining one, and it's super fun. But okay, good. Yeah, Laney just come pops over here and joins Aaron.
Aaron's neighbors don't love the noise of us streaming.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the big drama right now.
Got like, some noise complaints.
Yeah, I've got hella noise complaints at my thing, at my apartment. But so what I did is I weaponized Twitch and I put my landlord's like Google reviews online, like on a command that people can do. Like people can do like command KRC and it'll bring them right to the page to give them a 1-star review. So
how many people do you
I was pretty proud of that.
Acorn, how many people did it so far?
Oh yeah, we had like, I don't know, we had like 10 people do it last time. I'm like, oh my. If we can get it down to like,
it's
just a 1-star rating, that's all I want.
Management for apartment buildings that I also lived in for 2 years, and the management here just really sucks.
Gotcha. You got a little cult following here that's, you know, they're loyal.
They're putting it in the chat right now. Oh my god.
Yeah, we're still streaming. It's in the stream chat.
Yeah, you guys are on my stream too. I hope that's okay.
Oh, that's
great. Yeah, no, that's all right, that's great. We're cool. Actually, we're gonna be on Twitch soon for all the people in the chats. Backpocket is infiltrating Twitch with our
podcast. Oh, hell yeah.
So we'll be doing these same call-in shows, banter between Andrew and I. We'll bring on guests every week. We'll be going live on our Twitch page, and you can follow us on Twitch at the Backpocket. So
dude,
awesome.
Yo, nice. Shout out to Backpocket. I'll throw you a shout in the chat right now.
Yeah, appreciate thank you, that. Because right now we're honing in the behind the scenes. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties throughout. This is our second time doing these call-in like kind of format. And you know, there's always little hiccups here and there. We can't stream right away because you know, there's some post-production things that
we gotta get this thing dialed in a little bit. We wanna make sure the chats we minimize the Fs in the chats. Another thing I gotta mention, like your guys' cult following on Twitch. Didn't you guys have like a kid shotgun a White Claw for you?
So there's Twitch? This guy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Aaron, I'll let you go take
holy shit.
Son.
Yeah, we have one regular his name's Swank. The Swankinator. And yeah, dude, I could pull up a clip right now that would make you guys just die. But
he stays sending shotguns and like, it'll be like seltzers. It's honestly most of the time seltzers and he's fast.
Yeah.
He has some of the quickest shotguns I've ever seen. I'm not gonna lie.
He's a pro. I'm not gonna lie. And so we have like a bit that we do because like he'll always post it in the Discord and I'll always show it and I'll give it a rating out of 10, like a Dave Portnoy piece review.
Dude,
it's a good time.
Isn't it fun? Like, I know it sounds like I may be overreacting to one fan who is shotgunning for you, but like, me, that's everything.
Oh yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
I'm the same way. I love it. Like, I'm by no means like an expert on Twitch or like anything big on Twitch, but I just do it because I love it. And it's stuff like that makes it like just so special. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, it's just like these types of things where you hit us up, like when we reach out, like, hey, does anyone in our audience want to like call into the show? And you're like one of those people. Like when those things happen, that's just like a fun validation to like people support what you do, you know? And yeah. I could see that same sort of mantra or just energy fueling you guys. And, you know, from a creator to another creator. Bravo, brother.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Declan. I appreciate it, man.
Well, what's it like playing those old video games too? Because I feel like when I was a kid, I had N64 late, but then it was like PS2 right away. And I didn't really have those video games. Are you like going to your parents' garage, or were you playing these games as a kid?
Well, I was the youngest of like four kids. Like my oldest sister was 10 years older than me. So I always felt like I kind of got exposed to the older stuff, but I'm the same way, Andrew. I started on like N64. We had like an old dusty NES that was in like a box that we had to like pull out every once in a while, but that broke early in childhood. But yeah, dude, playing N64, GameCube, PlayStation 2, all that stuff. It's just what I remember from childhood. It's just like so fun to revisit and play with friends. Like we just play tonight, you know, just have a bunch of different people in and get to try new stuff. So, and just experience those old memories is so fun.
God, I can't think of a better way to just hang out on a Wednesday night than chopping up playing video games, having people watch you.
Drink some drinks, hang out with the crew, just.
Yeah. Cheers, boys.
Great post-work.
Do you ever get nervous, like, that your perceived audience is watching you play video games? Like, that was I was streaming golf, like, playing PGA for a while.
Yeah.
And, like, the first thing that I was, like, nervous about was, like, being live. I was like, whoa, this is kind of weird.
Dude, definitely. I think not so much anymore, but when I started doing it, like going live was like, oh, I had like butterflies in my stomach. And
it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's like nerve-wracking. You play in front of like two people and one of them is your girlfriend, you know? It's like
still scary.
Not that big of a deal. But yeah, no, I definitely feel that. And like on some of our bigger streams, when we play Guitar Hero 3, we always seem to like just get a lot more people watching. But honestly, for me, it gets more exciting when you have more people. It's like something's on the line. You got to put on a good show.
That's incredible, man. Well, we got our next guest here in the waiting room. I want to ask you one final question.
Yeah.
What are you stoked about to continue on here in 2021? Maybe something you learned from 2020 that you're carrying forward, or just something you're jazzed about for this upcoming year?
Dude, I'm just excited to, I don't know, keep doing goony shit. I love like making people laugh and getting to hang out with my friends. It's like streaming is such a great outlet to do that, especially with COVID. You just don't have that opportunity. You know what I mean? So to be able to have people to hang out with and to get to play old games and just enjoy them with people who also enjoy it. That's what I'm excited for.
Yeah, dude. Keep being a goon.
I love it. You Aaron, guys keep it up. Blaine, I love your shit.
And Zoe, correct? Yep, thank you so much correct. For joining.
Yeah.
Nice to see you guys.
See you later, boys.
Have a good night,
Take it easy. Nice hair, by the way.
Thank you.
You know who I'm talking about.
You too.
Hell yeah, guys. Take it easy.
Yep. See you.
Take care, brother.
Bye.
Oh, that's amazing. I love joining. We just joined a Twitch stream. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Dude, I know I said it already and I'll say it again, but like that man's OBS setup is fucking fat, dude. And I need that.
Yeah, he's got the skills. We need to pick his brain a little bit more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Our final caller, Nick Guetta, correct?
Nick Guetta, our final caller. We'll let him talk about it, but he's got a couple things launching here in 2021. One's already off and running with the gym, but he's got a book launch coming here. And
boys,
here he is, Nick. How are we?
Good. How are you?
Living the dream, dude, as always. But so good to have you again, man. This is I feel like it's funny because I feel like we've only met over Zoom. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. We've never met in person. Started on LinkedIn. We did Marnita's Table this past spring, and now we're here.
Now we're full circle, dude. Well, welcome to the back pockets. Phenomenal to have you here, man.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
I really just want actually I'll start here. Can you give some context for our listeners? I know we've been basically back and forth, you know, chopping it up for the last year, but I'd love for you to kind of give some context for our listeners as to who is Nick Guetta.
Well, there's a lot there right now.
There's a lot there.
I'm a freelance marketer. That is my job that pays the bills. I recently quit my job because it wasn't, you know, fitting the description, and I've taken on writing. I'm trying to build a creative community right now. There's a lot of stuff that I guess is going on, or there's like, I don't know, there's things I want to do. So I'm just kind of taking the time of my life right now and trying to make those things happen.
Yeah. Yes. Let's talk about some of that. So you got the creative community that you're building called the gym.
Yes.
What was the inspiration behind that? And what are the early steps that you're going through to get it off and running?
So actually both pieces of inspiration, or even inspiration, but also I figured out how to do it, came from your podcast. So the first one was the, it's not art if it's in your basement, where I was like, okay, so everything I'm going to do has to be executed. Then we're done with thoughts. The second one was through your podcast with, I believe it, his name is Brogan, with the November Project.
Yes.
And as soon as I listened to that, I knew it. I was like, okay, I've had this struggle for a long time and I wanted to use my creative background and somehow provide like a value add community, but I didn't know how to do it without doing like sign up fees and like long-term commitments and everything else. And he kind of like busted that bubble open for what he did with the November Project. So I just like took that and ran with it. And I was like, okay, I can build this community of people who don't have to commit to it. They can show up and only pull value from it instead of be forced to like plug themselves into it, like 100% into it. And I basically get to like host this space, I guess, where people can show up, get critiques, show what they've been working on, pitch new ideas to a community that's 100% supportive of everything that they're bringing. So yeah, I got inspired by listening to your podcast and I was like, you know what? I have this idea. I can bring it to life. I'm going to do it. And so now we're here.
Dude, that is, I mean, there's no better success story than that, right? Especially from our side, it's just like that. Those are the types of stories. Those are the types of things that make our hearts full, man. Like, you know, we can put out a billion podcasts and it's these types of stories that make the impact. And what's also cool too, a little behind the scenes, is like, you are very traditionally a ideas guy. You've texted me a billion times over the last year of like, Declan, this, here's this dope idea I have for this. Can I utilize you for that? And it's like, of course, man, like I'm always going to be a trampoline of ideas for you and I'm going to help you out. But I love that Austin Yoakum's quote on the Mark Dowdle podcast put you into a new realm of doing. And I actually posted on LinkedIn today and I said, you know, creating for yourself is art, creating for others is business. And it's funny because, you know, Back Pocket right now, as a, you know, as a podcast, we've been creating for ourselves for damn near 4 years. And using our platform, you know, talking with other people, yada, yada, yada. But a lot of what we're trying to do is, you know, the production side of things, and we're creating art for others. It was really cool to see you comment today what you did. I'd love you to share that with everybody here.
About the comment?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah. So I was just like chimed in and basically, you know, you guys are taking that route, but I'm totally coming in the other space. Like before, I was trying to create content for people. I was trying to make money, do a business thing. Like you said, it ended up into a lot of ideas. So I'm taking over and now I'm creating things 100% for myself. You know, well, you had the one way for the business. I'm going one way back into the art to, you know, kind of remember why I'm doing it in the first place. And that neither of them are, you know, the cool part about your quote, as I said, is neither of them are better than the other, but it's about getting relative and understanding which is which.
It sounds like you caught a green light, baby. Yes, sir.
Always.
Just keep living. I just finished that book and with Matthew McConaughey. And I think you're living out exactly what he was kind of preaching. You know, we get all trapped in our head and you can get stuck in a hole. But the concept of just keep living and figuring it out and just being okay with whatever's in front of you. But being a doer instead of being that ideas type of person, it all starts there.
Absolutely. You guys might plug my book quick.
Oh yeah.
Am I allowed to ask?
This is our fault for not mentioning that you just came out with a book, or I'd just love to hear the floor is yours, sir.
I would love to plug. You guys have a great audience. I would love the opportunity. But yeah, no, it just like goes basically what we were just talking about is like changing this opportunity that I have, you know, from ideas to doing. So what I decided was like, you know what, I'm going to write a book. Do I have anything to say? I don't know. But what I am going to do is I'm going to sit down. I'm going to battle with myself to take this piece of art from start to finish. You know, no matter how it turns out, it's going to exist. And what I ended up doing in that process was that is what I started to write my book about. Is he still here? We're still good. Yes. Okay. So that's what I started to write my book about. After I was writing it, and I was like, do I really have a story? That's when it clicked. And I was like, you know what? Yes, I do. Because I have lived experiences, I have this story, I'm going to write about it. And so my book is essentially the process of the mental challenges I went through while writing a book. Gotcha. So now I'm...
Yeah, and you got the quote on the back of your of the book that I'm looking right here on your Instagram. Because first off, whoever was the editor on the cover photo did a phenomenal job. I mean, it already just looks like one of those books you find a New York Times bestseller, like on every airport
kiosk. Let's hope it gets there.
Yeah, it will get there in due time. But on the quote on the back, the things we care about are the people we become. Mm-hmm. That right there is, you know, the impetus of why we continue to push out content like the Back Pocket, why we surround ourselves with people such as yourself, because we care about, you know, just being a better version of ourselves every day, hopefully impacting the person across from us in a positive light, being a goofball, enjoying life. And this little, I mean, it's a simple quote. I'm not sure if you pulled that from someone else or if that's a direct quote from
you. That's in there. Hopefully I didn't.
But I mean, it's simple and it speaks volume. So well done.
Awesome. Yeah. I appreciate it. Sure. Very exciting. It'll be released in March. Pre-orders hopefully for the ebook go out this week, but we're not sure yet. Waiting on Amazon.
So how long did it take for you to write the book? You said it's coming out in March.
Yeah.
Was this process difficult to get it up and running and then published?
So I started it in September. I finished it on December 30th or 31st, whatever the last day in December is, was what the day I finished my rough draft. And I got it to an editor around the 6th of January.
Gotcha. So I wanted to put a timeline on that because there's probably a lot of people out there that want to write a book, including Declan, including myself. Like that's, you know, that's on our wish list. What is it like to get that process started? Like, what do you recommend someone to do to get it going?
So I took a little bit different approach, but what I do recommend is sitting down and just writing. That has to be a practice. If it's not 100% on your mind all the time, you're never going to come up with new ideas. You're never going to figure out how to change things, talk about it better. Like the way that I started my process, I took all my old journals that I had and I threw them out onto the page and just looked at them. And I was like, okay, what do they have in common? What are things that I know? Turns out it's me. And then I just kind of started to formulate it, but writing every single day, whether it's in the book or whether it's in a journal, keep the mind burning all the time and continuously put stuff onto the page. You can always go back later and edit it, but if you're not putting it on the page, it'll never grow. So it you have to practice that.
What was it like doing a total deep dive into yourself? Like we write journals all the time and probably rarely ever look back at them, but you pull them all out of the archives and centered it around a book around what you know, and that's you. What was that like?
The hardest thing I've ever done. Even harder than to go put it in front of people, right? Because now you're battling with yourself and what you believe, and then you have to go, okay, do I believe this strongly enough that I'm willing to share it with somebody else? Do I own that thought? And then once you share it with somebody else, and now you have to receive feedback from it, is where it's like, okay, if they don't agree to it, do I own it enough to still stand there and take that and still believe what I believe? Right? So like the deep dive was tough because you're like, okay, I was that person. We can change those thoughts around. I think a little bit differently now. Do I own those? But it's then once you get it in front of people and you're forced to live with that and own it, that you have to be stuck into it. But it was very, very hard mentally to be like, whew, is this who I actually am? Because once I put it out there, that's the direct reflection of me. Right. So people are either going to know that or they know nothing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take that a step further and say, that's who you were, quote unquote. I mean, obviously every single day you're going to get a little bit, you're going to grow a little bit differently. You're going to become a different person, all for the better, hopefully, but that's who you were. And you got to just be proud of that product. It's not easy. It's easier said than done, but I mean, it's killer that you can tap into yourself and write a book on it, because I can barely get myself to journal every single night.
I feel it. Also, I know we're coming up on our 10-minute timeline you guys want to have, but I would love to tell one more story about this that I think will inspire some listeners. So in talking about, you know, like what you brought up about owning or like looking back at yourself, and I said you really have to like own your beliefs and who you are and whether or not you really want to like sit with this art and share it with people. Well, I sent out 40 copies of the rough draft to people before I sent it to an editor to get feedback on, see what they vibed with, what were their big takeaways. And after that, the majority of them were like, you know what? I was confident enough to say, I think this book will work. I think people will like it. The first editor I sent it to read 2.5 pages of the 10 I sent him. One of those pages were being the back of the book, sent me a 7-paragraph long email back, questioning my integrity as a writer, telling me that this book will never work. I'll never see it on the shelves of, or he's like, where would you ever see a book like this on the shelves of Barnes and Noble? And I was like, exactly, it's different. That's the point. But he tore into me. I didn't write for 2 days after. I sat there and was like, okay, it's not going to work. But was after that, like, essentially able to be like, okay, that's the point of this book. You know, I made it for me. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. He was one guy out of a list of 41, and it like inspired me to launch it straight to the shelves and do another editor. But like that process of putting my feelings out on the table, who I am, and let somebody judge it at like an extensive level, was quite the experience. And just like the way I feel now after getting to share it is like mountains higher than I felt before he gave me that awful feedback. So it's like, it's important to go through those battles in order to like really own what you're working on. And I think more people need to hear that kind of stuff.
You're absolutely right.
I think the key word that I'm going to use is just vulnerability. Like, you put yourself out there in the purest and most vulnerable form, and a guy tore you to shreds. And, you know, none of that feels good, but like you said, it's a worthy experience. It's mm-hmm. something that you, maybe it was unexpected at the time, but probably looking back, you're like, okay, yeah, I gotta know. And mm-hmm. I had some strife in my creative process and in the process in general. And absolutely. I think that's just like, I think your story and your testament in general is just a really good example of why it's always, no matter what, worth it to pursue that bug and that tick that's always in your mind of like something that gives you that gratification. Like Andrew asked earlier, you know, what would you recommend to someone who wants to write a book? And you said writing your book has to be on the front of your mind at all times. And I could tell that was on the front of your minds just through the last year here. Mm-hmm. So I just got to applaud you for that, man. Like, that's just awesome that you followed through with it. And what I think the best part about all of this is it's just giving you a new platform to stand on. And who's to say, you know, I'm buying the book for sure. So you at least have one purchase there.
I appreciate it.
But like at the end of the day, just like we don't really care about how many people download our podcast. Like, mm-hmm. you know, however many people buy your book, I think it's irrelevant. I think your outlook and where you're going to go from here, the next book you write, the next journey you live. Yep. There's no one more excited than me, dude. I can't wait to see awesome. What happens next.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, Nick, you're fearless, dude. And the second Declan, I applaud you for it, man. And I'm looking forward to the time that we get to meet in person, because now we're in three different locations doing the Zoom call. Yeah. Decky's in Arizona. I'm here in Minneapolis. And remind me, Indiana?
Michigan. We're north.
Gotcha. So
yes, sir.
Are you going to ever leave Michigan, or what's your gig?
Yeah, I'm self-employed now. I go wherever I want. I just got to find a place to land.
Hey, Arizona's pretty warm, dude.
I'd come south.
There you go. Love to hear it, man.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate this, you guys. Dude, like,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I appreciate this. You guys are awesome. Your community is great. The amount of people I've met through you guys alone, like just some random stuff, has been like so rewarding. Yeah, it's been fantastic. I really appreciate you guys doing stuff like this, giving myself a platform and other people to connect and grow with. It's been huge.
Awesome. You guys are awesome. The book is going to be launched early March. We'll have a link in the show notes to your page. Hopefully, you said the 13th?
15th.
Yep. So Let's get this thing on the New York Times bestseller. We're going to do our best to get it on there.
Yeah, you and me both. But, I appreciate it. See you guys later.
See ya.
Cheers, brother.
Well, wow. Decky, 7 up, 7 down. I'd say a successful night. We definitely had some trials and errors, some ups and downs, some strikes and gutters. But overall, dude, these continue to be a blast.
Yeah, these continue to be a blast because I think we said it maybe last time already too. Might be redundant saying it again, but like, I am just really I draw a lot of energy from getting Collins and just hearing the different energy and vibes and stories and just things that are going on in all these different people's lives. It's entertaining to me, and I'm assuming you as well. It's just I'm excited to keep it going, honestly.
Yeah, and we want more and more types of guests coming on. We had Nick coming in here talking about his journey of losing weight. We have Nick talking another Nick talking about releasing a book. Aaron streaming on Twitch. Michelle talking about her being a hustler, still a junior in college, having her own business and a president of the marketing company. Clara, you know, just always doing Clara things and calling us out for being knuckleheads, but also she's a knucklehead in herself. I just love the types of people that we surround ourselves with and that can come in and call on. So let's continue to find these diverse people.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And if you're listening right now and you have like an idea or something that you would want us to try out, we are all ears. We are basically sitting in, we're basically going to be doing this type of format until, you know, there's really no foreseeable future of when this ends. And like Andrew and I always do, we kind of just roll with the punches as we go. But the thing that the reason we keep bringing it up of like, hey, what do you want? What do you want? What kind of different ideas is simply because we love doing it. It's fun. It's a different type of vibe that we've never had before. And I want to do more of it.
Right. And then at the same time, I want to hear how the variety of ways we can do it, because it feels like the possibilities are endless. Whether we take this on like a radio show and we have call-ins where it's like a specific person coming on once a month with this unique personality, or just catching up with our audience time and time again, either way we take it, it's going to be fulfilling. Because you're absolutely right, Deck. We love doing it. We're not going anywhere. We're going to continue doing it. No one, we like to say no one else is doing it. There probably are other people doing it, but it feels like the way we're doing it is unique.
Absolutely, man. Well, I think we didn't record for 2 hours this time, so that's good.
Right. We were able to condense it down, as Sophie will say, and I know she's listening right now. She said, hey, Andrew, I think one piece of advice, maybe you don't go 2 hours. Maybe take away some fluff. You guys love your fluff. And I'm like,
we love our fluff.
I'm like, Sophie, that's who we are. We're fluff guys.
Dude, we have been fluff guys our entire lives, dude. Like, I live my life fluffy. I am a little fluffy. You know, I've always got a little fluff on me, you know? Love me for my fluff.
I'm the Michelin man. I'm just a big old puffball. Pillsbury Doughboy.
Pillsbury Doughboy, also Aaron Rodgers. Christ.
All right. Let's call it a night here, Deck. Thank you, listeners, marketing interns. We're going to, hey, marketing interns, you guys are listeners. You guys are marketing interns. Sometimes we don't reiterate that enough. Our listeners
we
are
need
marketing
to, interns. Yeah. That's 2020 goal is, I think I always am, anytime I say marketing interns or just interns in general, I'm always thinking about the person who doesn't know what that means. And I'm not thinking enough about the people who do know what it means. So we need to kind of just stick to our guns here and not be apologetic, because it's one of the best inside jokes of all time. And it's fucking genius. Like, you guys are interns because you listen to our podcast, you love it. And then you do things like Nick does. You turn around and impact the world. And then you're like, oh yeah, I got all this inspiration from the back pocket. Great word of mouth marketing. Go and tell your mom to listen to the podcast. Go tell your friend, your brother, whoever it is. You guys are the ones that are helping us grow. Thus, we hired you as interns.
Amen to that. And that's why we love you guys.
Absolutely. Love you, interns. Dick care.
Dick care.
Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah, we're in trouble. Wrote a pop song, tried to pop off, but I think we popped a bubble. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. So you wanna play the pop game? Said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. Triple coverage. Had it mapped out, but you spaced out. Man, you didn't see it coming. Yeah. Hold my luggage. About to fly up, holding my cup, looking down and seeing nothing. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. No, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you.